Thanks for listening to Ace on the House on Podcast One.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey everybody, this is Spike Ferriston from Spike's Car Radio. We're out here in the porch of at the Malibu Kitchen at the Malibu Country Mart every weekend doing podcasts. My first guest is Jerry Seinfeld. He's right here. We're going to have Jeremy Piven. We're going to have Chris Hardwick. See you soon on Spike's Car Radio.
I think he's over-projecting for a podcast.
And I love to over-project for podcasts. Join me every week at PodcastOne.com and Apple Podcasts.
This is Corolla Digital.
Taking calls, home improvement tips, straight from the Ace Man's lips to those in need. They cover it all, A to Z, roof to basement and in between. Raise on the ladder and Ace got the hammer. Fixing your trouble with hilarious banter. So send your emails to the Postal and Punisher with his old buddy Ray. It's Ace on the House.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Welcome to Ace on the House. I'm Adam Kroll. It's Ray Oldhoffer over
there.
Yeah,
I am, and you are.
What's going on? Is your mic working okay?
Yeah, it is.
Oh.
We didn't do a test.
Something feels weird about your mic.
Better?
No, not at all. But that's all right. I'll tell you what. Let me take care of a little business. We'll get your mic heated up. Denny's, man. Always been a place where America can come for a favorite breakfast, lunch, dinner dishes, whatever you want, whatever you crave. Now there's Denny's on demand. Same always open philosophy. Now online. Quick and easy way. Place your mobile or online order for takeout or delivery of your favorite menu item all day, every day. What a time we're living in. Dinner favorites at your fingertips. Visit Denny's.com. Click on the order online and download the Denny's app. What a time, man. You can order from an everyday menu. They got the standard Denny's menu. Or the new fresh picked flavors. It's a limited time menu. They got like a chopped kale and grilled chicken salads. You know, stuff a little on the healthier side. Or you can go old school Denny's. Whatever you like, get the app. Visit Denny's.com and click on the order online or download the Denny's app. Do that today. All right, is that mic working now?
I think so.
There it is, man.
Here I am.
All right. So let's see, Ray, what are you working on?
Well, helped you out.
Yep.
Did a little bit of dry pack for you.
Yeah, it was wet dry pack, unfortunately.
Did it crack?
Well, I'll put it to you this way. We're doing a shower pan. I have a funny life because I don't know anything about, I don't know much about shower pans, evidently. But I started like sort of researching it a little and I'm watching these videos online. It's interesting, this whole online world, you know. You can go on there and get coached up on just about anything. And so I'm looking online, and it's the same thing. Like, when they mix up the mortar for the pan, it looks to me like you know when you go to the beach and you get to that point where the sand gets just a little bit moist, but it still feels like sand?
Yeah, yeah.
But you can put it in a cup and turn it over and make a little castle. That's what it's like. So I was like, and they're like, it's dry. It's super dry. And I'm like, God, it looks dry. It doesn't look like you're mixing up mortar, concrete,
dry.
Whatever. Dry. And then so
it has to almost look pilly.
I talked to Ray about it, and Ray said the word dry 181 times, and then when Ray's guys were doing the pan, it looked really wet. So I was like, what?
They made three batches. They made one that was good and two that were kind of not acceptable.
That's what you're looking for. That's the ratio.
Listening?
Three batches. You want two that aren't acceptable and one that's kind of good. That's what you're looking for. That's called first. Put that on a T-shirt. No. Put it on a picture of an eagle soaring over a lake in the Seattle area, Tacoma. And you say three batches,
right.
Two not good, one acceptable.
No, one was good, one was fair, and the other one wasn't. It was like, anyway, so right. They got a reprimanding and all that, but I had to go with it because it had to be done. So I did.
Okay.
You know, and then throw dry mortar on top of that, hit it with a wood block, get the moisture out, you know, and then get the float going so it drains.
Well, the float was good.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a little low and one back corner, so says Sean.
It doesn't matter. I want it a little low because then you could always even it out with the thin set.
Well, you'd like it just tits on because then you won't have to do anything. But you can always build it up with the thin set. But
I wanted to build everything up because you're going to throw wood in there. So then you want to meet your elevation. So you're going to have you got very few tile that you're going to be setting.
Well,
so each tile is going to need a lot of attention.
I get it. But you still don't want the back corner a little low. You don't want it a little low. You'd rather have it
low than high.
Understood, but you don't want it low, right?
Okay.
I'm looking for clarity because I have a lot of bizarre conversations with people that I don't know what they're talking about. You're one of them. I talked to Gary Fultard today, and I was explaining, if you guys want to know how to hang a door, I will tell you very quickly how to hang a door. Boy, did I have a closet door. I've had a closet door odyssey over the last few days. It's an odyssey. But I said to Gary Fultard.
I was watching part of it. Yeah.
Oh,
it's pretty amazing.
All right. So, Gary, I'm going to explain this to you because you know less than nothing. And I want you to tell me if this makes sense to you.
And how.
Although you have a good mathematical mind.
Thank you.
And Matt knows less than nothing and has a bad mathematical mind. So I'm going to now focus on Matt and see if he can understand this. Okay. Here's how you hang a door. And Matt, I'm going to use you as a canary in the dumbest listener coal mine.
I plan on passing out very shortly.
No, but I'm saying this is a compliment.
Okay.
I'm saying to you is I'm going to use you as a broken compass. And if you don't understand what direction I'm going, then the lowest common denominator doesn't understand what I'm going to say. You understand? You're the every.
Does this make Matt more or less intelligent than Gary Fultard?
This is the, you know, he's an every stupid man is what I'm saying. You see what I'm saying?
God, this is.
He speaks for the dumbest. Okay.
You guys still talking about it?
All right. So,
how you feeling, Matt?
I just want to make sure you understand this, and then everyone listening, even people who aren't listening, will understand what I'm saying.
All right. Bring it on.
Okay.
Let's do it.
We're hanging a door, and we're
going to a rope?
We're going to set. Yeah. It stole some horses. We're hanging a door, and we're going to also set the door jamb. Too. So we have just a rough opening. We have all we're looking at is drywall and 2x4s on the inside
and a bunch of jam.
And a header.
Jam
and a bunch of jam.
All over the door.
Jelly, that's your preserves. All right. So a lot of marmalade. So we have a rough opening, and here we have a jam and a door. And we must figure out how do we hang this jam and how do we hang the door. Now, as I've said to Gary and Rob and anyone who will ever listen to me, I used to do it the wrong way, which is, well, you go, okay, first we're going to put the jam in. You go, okay, I'll put the jam in. I'll put a level on the jam. I'll get the jam all set up nice and everything, and I'll screw it in or nail it in, and then I'll put some shims, and I'll put the other side, and I'll get it all fixed off, and then I'll go put the door in. But that's a... While it's possible to do it that way... You are lowering your chances of having a good eighth-inch shadow line reveal all the way around that door when you close the door. Because imagine how perfect you would have to be to have that eighth-inch go all the way down without a bulge where you put in the shim or without the bottom. If the bottom's kicked out a 16th of an inch, your eighth line goes to 16th or the top, whatever. It's a very low percentage. You have to be really good to do it that way. And what people don't realize with construction is it's sort of my like factory edge. It's like people take a piece of plywood, it's 4x8, they cut it to 32 inches, and I see them putting it in, and I'm going, why are you putting the factory edge against the wall where the drywall is going to go over it? Put the factory edge out. And they're like, well, I made a pretty straight cut. And it's like, yeah, but never as good as the factory edge. And we have a choice right now. Put the factory edge out, and when other piece of plywood meets it, it'll have a factory edge to go to. So I'm saying it's like, you might make a cut that's almost as good or as good as the factory edge, but why?
But it's not the factory edge.
Why put it up to chance? Maybe you can set that jam in advance perfectly, but that's going to be difficult, and that's low percentage. So, as I say to Gary and Rob and anyone else, here is now the way to do it. Are you ready, Matt?
I'm ready.
Tell me if there's a part of this you don't understand.
I think I'm getting it so far.
You take the jam, and the first thing you do, it's three pieces, the hinge side, the strike side, the doorknob side, and the header piece. First thing you do is you put it together. Put the header piece down, fire a nail through the thing, and make this weird, floppy, long, flexible thing. It's a upside-down U. And take it, put it in the opening, take the hinge side, put a level on it, get it how you want to get it, and screw it in or nail it in or fix it. Right. There's a couple other things about if the floor's off, stuff like that. I'm going to get into all that. Put it in. Then take your door, put the hinge pins in, and try to swing the door. Shut the door. Now we work our eighth-inch shadow line. Let's just say it's hinged on the left and swinging out. Work it from the upper left all the way around. Put the shims in behind the rough opening and the jam. Work it, pop a nail in, work it down. Your door may be out a little bit at the bottom. Bring it out.
Now you can bring it out.
You can bring it out. Yeah. Or you can bring it.
You can bring it any which way.
What I'm saying is you can bring it in toward the rough opening, but sometimes the door sits out. Sometimes it flexes into the room a little. You can pull it out.
So you can pull it now.
The jam out, and we work it to the door.
What's the shadow line? Is that like the amount of light that's kind of coming around the door?
I would call it a reveal. I would call it a shadow line. I would say that when you close a door and you look at the little space between the door and the jam, that is called a reveal or
a shadow
line. It
should all be the same.
And you want it to be right. Uniform, obviously.
Okay. You've been to a place where the gap on the strike side's way big, or vice versa, or let's say the top of the door isn't even hitting
place,
the strike.
I know the top of our door is there's a huge gap. That's
okay.
Weird.
Yeah. Bad.
Right. That's a big shadow. That's half inch or whatever. So, of course, what Gary did is he then set the jam with 1,000 shims and screwed it all off without ever swinging the door in there, which always means that good luck with those margins now when you swing that door. I'm not that good, and Gary certainly isn't that good. But the comedy is
the way you described it can make you good. That's a perfect way to make it good.
Well, look, this stuff is not about carpentry or this business or whatever it is. It's not about you being able to draw a bow and hit the bullseye from 100 paces. It's about working techniques where it hits the bullseye every time, but doesn't involve you with a rock steady hand nailing it. You know what I mean? Like you do these techniques so you don't have to be that good. The whole reason, you know, you take this jam with the casing and everything, the timely, the metal, the commercial stuff, you put the studs up, you put the drywall up, and then you take the jam and it snaps over the top of the drywall. You don't have to be perfect with the drywall. Just stop it. It'll go over the top. You snap the casing on.
You're done.
You're done. And by the way, paint first and then snap the casing on. And you don't have to be a perfectly steady hand going down against the casing.
No.
Just paint first and then snap it on. Sort of like you don't have to be you know, pop all the molding off the car, paint the car, then pop the molding back on. Don't pinstripe down the molding. You're not that good. That's what I'm saying. Boy, I paint a picture, speaking of painting. So, now, speaking of insane conversations, like the one I just had with Ray, which is you'd like to be low in the far corner away from the drain. I had a more...
And by the way, why'd you put the drain where you did that?
I had, more insane conversation with Gary, which is, I said, Gary, when I left him yesterday, I said, put the frame, put the jam together, pop two nails, go hang the hinge side, get it all plumb, and then swing the door and go around it. He, of course, did it the way that takes twice as long and has not worked. Well, we can't tell if it's going to work or not because he's lost one of the hinge pins, so we can't. we had to just put a 16 penny nail in the bottom one because we don't know where the pin is. Yeah. Well, why would you know where the pins were?
He should go grab another one.
Yeah. We got nothing but time. So perhaps another trip over to the house to grab something. So I said,
how many guys you got over there now? You better get home, bro.
Lynette says I should go supervise. So, Lynette's on the sofa right now telling me I need to go over there and supervise. So, the problem with the supervision is I need to explain Lynette's catch 22, because if I could quit everything and go supervise, but then I wouldn't have the money to pay for the you see what I'm saying here, Matt? It's a little math issue here. So, I said to Gary this morning when I went and looked at the, by the way, you know, when the guy, you know, this one too, he's making all his own shims and stuff. He's had the opening is floated in the middle about a half inch away each side. I said, just slam it to the one side, screw it off, and then just make it up on the other side of the piece of one by, but that's fast. So I said to him,
and you have all that one by there.
It's why not put this thing together and then fix the hinge side and do it the way I said to do it? And he said, well, you wanted me to put the jam together first and then put it up. And I said, yes, I did. And that's the way you would do it if you were going to do it my way. And he went, okay. And I went, is that an answer? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, well, that's an insane answer, right? And he's like, yeah. Like, okay.
You know, at least he fessed. I kind of like that.
No, but I'm saying, where are you going to go from there? But what I'm saying is why? Here's what I'm curious about with everybody. Why do you have an answer? Like, I mean, you can go, hey, I fucked up, or you can go next time, or I should have listened. But why explain to me exactly what I just said? And is there a universe, Matt, you know me pretty well, is there a universe where you will say something like that to me and I'll go, gotcha, and then walk into the next room?
It usually comes up again.
It's like provoking a lion.
Well, I believe it only comes up again when it's an insane answer, right?
Correct, yes.
I said, take the jam, put it together, go swing, go put the strike side, go put the hinge side up, and then work the margin around it. And he said, I couldn't do it that way because you wanted me to put the jam together. Which is the only way this plan would have worked.
Yeah,
you can't do it unless
work.
You put it together and go put it in the opening. And when I said, that's insane, he went, okay. Well, I tried.
He's taking improv. Yes, and.
I'm just saying, why the attempt is the part that I'm interested in. Anyway.
Did he take the whole thing out?
Well, now he has a half day in setting it. So, but then... Oh, man. Then we really went deep after that.
Hey, I was freaking out on Mario yesterday, kind of screaming at him about the that dry pack means dry, motherfucker.
Yeah. You know?
I mean, he was like, sorry, this, that. And I go, come on, just do what I tell you to do.
Well, it didn't.
I go, I know how to do it. You don't.
It cracked enough that Sean went out and got Red Guard to paint it up with because he didn't like whatever. Sean is kind of a perfectionist, and he just...
Where is he going to put Red Guard? Where?
All over the top of it.
No, why?
Because he said it was cracked.
But the Red Guard isn't going to... Listen, the pan is what picks that up, and the wee pool is where I put all the gravel.
I don't know.
He doesn't need the red guard. He shouldn't, actually.
Well, Ray, let me explain. Sean is a perfectionist, and he said, I'm going to red guard this entire shower stall. And I said, don't do it. And he said, why not? And I said, because I bought this Den Shield,
yeah,
which is a new kind of a shower cement board, gypsum, whatever it is, and you do not need to red guard. You need to tape the seams with thinset, and you need to go over the screw holes with thinset. And he said, are you sure? And I said, I'm absolutely sure. I went online. I went to the homepage. I went to the whatever, the guys who make Den's Shield. And that's the whole point. The whole reason I went out and bought this stuff at Cal Wall and not at Home Depot doesn't carry it. The whole reason I bought it is so I don't want a membrane, and I don't want to
vapor barrier or whatever.
I don't want to do the red guard.
Gotcha.
I don't want to paint on the membrane, and I don't want to do the whatever. And he said, okay. And I said, are you sure? And I said, I went and I researched it. So no red guard. And he said, all right. And then I went in my office. And then I came back 45 minutes later, and he was red guarding the pan, your float, and about 8 inches up the wall. And I said, why are we doing the red guard? And he said, the pan had too many cracks, so I want to red guard it. And I said, okay. Here's one of the things I've learned in life, and I like Sean a lot, which is I've had conversations where people, they go, I want to use, like, I've had these conversations, and they always work out. They always work this way. The guy's got the pad sander, and he goes, I'm going to sand all the wooden treads with the pad sander. And you go, don't use the pad sander, use the orbital sander. Orbital sander is much better for this. And they go, I like the pad sander. And you go, trust me. Pad sander is like the vibrating sander.
Yeah.
Just use the orbital.
Okay? Faster.
It's faster. It's a better tool
for
this. And they go, okay. And then you go, good. I'm going on a hardware run. I'll be back in an hour. And then you leave. When you come back, what sander do you think the fella... Seven and a half out of 10 people will be using when you return. We'll try to guess the answer. I'm writing mine down. You guys doing it? I'll tell you what. You guys, Matt, Gary, Ray, you tell me how many out of 10 people you have that conversation with. It's not people. These are carpenters who aren't really carpenters, really just unemployable folks you went to high school with. How many out of 10 will be using the orbital sander? How many will, and versus the pad sander? And then what the answer you're going to hear is. So you're not going to hear, fuck you, I do what I want with the sanders. That's not what you're going to hear. You're going to hear an answer. All right? All right. First, I will, let's see. Let's take a quick phone call. Building custom desktop. What materials should we? All right. It's quickie. Bill, Brooklyn.
Yeah. Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man.
How you doing?
Good. So I've been looking at these standing desks. They're like motorized ones where it goes from like a sitting desk to a standing desk. They're really cool. But the tops are all really shitty. It's like this fake crappy bamboo. And so I found ones where you can just buy the legs that are motorized and build your own top.
Yeah,
so
you're saying motorized, but it's not motorized. It's just a spring hinge, like a garage door hinge.
It's like a hydraulic thing.
Hydraulic or whatever. But anyway, you want to basically laminate it with something. Yes.
Well, no, I think I want to opt to not even buy the top from them, just buy the legs.
Just the leg. Yeah, you're saying legs, but you just want to buy the mechanism. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And you want to just do the top yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can do that. You can buy that? You can find that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think so. So I've just been looking at, like, planks of reclaimed wood that I was thinking about. Putting together somehow so there would be a flat surface on top. But I was wondering if you guys have any other better recommendations.
I'll tell you what's jumping out at me. You ready, Bill? Good little project for you. Not too hard, but interesting. I'd like you to buy the desk, and then I would like you to lay up some laminate that you like on top of it and then just buzz it off with a trimmer.
Better idea.
Mm. Okay.
A reclaimed wood for desktops.
Not good.
Rough sledding.
Yeah.
There are a million laminates now. They have metal laminates. They have bamboo. They have every kind of... I mean, don't get fake wood. You're looking for something cool. They got thousands.
They got stainless. They got everything.
They got everything
copper.
Now. And you could lay it up, and it would be really cool. Now, make sure it's a little bit durable. And it should
right.
be. But, you know, go with some contact cement, lay it up on top, take your trimmer router, buzz it off. It'll be your own custom desk, and you won't have to deal with it. It's going to be a little bit tough making the top yourself.
And attaching it and making sure it all functions right. I mean, you don't have the spec for it or anything like that.
All right. Can you do it that way,
right.
Bill?
Yeah, I think so.
Adam's idea is good.
Go on. Thank you. Go online and look for, like, Wilson Art. Wilson Art. All right? All right, and see if you find a really cool laminate that you like. All right, I'll tell you guys about Geico. Everybody's got the to-do list, man. Oh, man, you got to hang that closet door, man. You want to get the butt in the strike side, man. Just right. How about you save hundreds of dollars to your car insurance, and you don't have to drop off anything or pick up anything. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance. Why would you go any other direction? Put a little extra money in your pocket and go with Geico.com. All right. Answer to trivia question of what percentage of guys are going to be doing their own thing. Matt, what do you think?
All right. I got
Pat
this.
Sander
I
versus
got this.
Orbital.
I got this broken down.
Mm-hmm.
2 out of 10 using the pad sander.
Okay.
5 out of 10 using the orbital sander.
Mm-hmm.
And then 3 out of 10 using the orbital sander. When you get back, it's still plugged in and there's dust everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Using the orbital sander. Well,
using the pad. Yeah, using the orbital sander. Yeah.
Okay.
Pad sander.
Wait.
I think you screwed that one up, man.
Yeah,
I think you may screw that one.
You guys know what I'm.
You want me to? You want me to give you mine and then you can rethink?
I do. Let him rethink. But do me a favor, Gary. If you think 9 out of 10 guys are going to be using the orbital sander,
I do not.
Don't go. 7 using orbital sander plus an additional 2 using orbital sander. Just pick a whole number.
You got it.
It'll be easier for me to work my brain around.
I think when you come back, 3 out of 10 are using the orbital sander as instructed, and 7 out of 10 are using the pad sander. And the most common excuse, I'm not saying this is going to be all 7, but maybe 5, 6 out of 10 is tried it with the pad sander, wasn't working the way I wanted.
Okay. That's very good. That's a very good answer, Ray.
I'm going pad sander 7
mm-hmm.
because people are stubborn and won't listen. I'm going 2, went with you, took mm-hmm. out the orbital. 1 brought out the belt sander, and he's now fired.
Oh, he screwed everything. That belt sander with the 60 grit on there is a monster. You'll ruin stuff that fast with a belt sander. It's one of my very first finish details was we got out the oak face frames on some cabinet on a house we're building up in the Hollywood Hills when I was like 21 or something. And Tom Johnson, the main guy, just gave me the belt sander, and he had to like scribe it and put the one by up on its edge and, you know, go at it with the belt. Just, it was Snake River Canyon when I was done with that thing. I mean, it chews up fast. All right. I like where everyone's head's at, except for Matt. I'm not sure if he's been able to reconvene.
I'm still trying to figure out what I was saying.
It's okay.
All right, do you want to take another stab at it?
Please don't make me.
Okay.
He's so cute.
Well, you're a conscientious objector.
No, I was intending to prove your point. Not
okay. Well, no. I don't know what it is. I'm a little bit... I'm not as tough as you guys are. I know it seemed like I was leading you down a path. I would say, in my world, 6.5 or 7 of the guys did go with the orbital sander because it is better, and that's what I told them to do. 7 out of 10. But there are 3 or 3.5 or 4 guys who are using the pad sander, but again, they can't just tell you, I've ignored your information and decided to move forward. They will say, I went to go get the orbital, but it was missing the dust bag. Or we only had, or there'll be this one too.
That's not bad.
We only had 120. In which case, I would go, I know, what's wrong with 120 grit? And they'd go, I don't know. I didn't know you wanted to use it. It's like it's a weird way of not
deflecting. Yeah.
It's a way of getting your point based on a non-point, which is like you go, use the orbital, and they'll go, all we had was 120 hook and loop. I didn't think that would work. And you go, why wouldn't it work? And by the way, I bought the 120. And thirdly, I knew all we had was 120 when I told you the sand thing. And then they'd pause and go, I didn't know what you wanted to do. In which case, I always say, well, you did know what I wanted to do because I said use the orbital. I just didn't want to chance it. And then they're like, chance what? And I go, oh, whatever. And then you move on. That's a way to. So that's how. That's how we're, but probably only be about 35%.
But when I'm at your job site, you know, which I have been of late, every time you walk in, I notice that everybody kind of walks away from you.
Smart.
Because they don't want to be.
That's not just the job site, it's my house. See the dog going out to the yard, Lynette's heads into the bedroom.
Oh.
Yeah. Picks up her computer and heads into the kitchen. So
honey, I'm home. Yeah, I know.
So then, oh boy, I don't want to be a one-upper, but I think I could one-up myself on this next one. First, let's see. Jeff, Kansas City, preferences on brushing or rolling versus spray paint. Also, rich man, poor man. Inoperable farm equipment in the front yard. I like that.
Yeah.
I talked to him. Somebody, modular home question. That's interesting. I was just all up on the modular home face, man. I was at the home show at the LA Convention Center last weekend, looking at modular homes and other kinds of cool stuff.
They're awesome.
Oh, they had some really cool stuff. They had at the home show, they had this garage door made in Italy. I'll try to explain it, but trackless. You know what I mean? That had a right and a left side, and it just went up, and the stuff rolled up and like folded up, but it didn't have the track and the motor, you know, the thing on the ceiling with the skis that go all the way back and all that stuff. Just
what is it? Collapsible?
It goes up like a doggy door or something, but then it folds once or something like that. But the point is no tracks, all the hardware's in the side.
That's amazing.
It's a lot of cool stuff out there. And you could imagine when you go into your garage, there's nothing worse than looking up and seeing the skis going up the track, going, you know, 12 foot into the house.
And then I'm sure this thing's way quiet, isn't it?
It's quiet, it's Euro, it's everything. And also, I don't care if you live in Candy Spelling's $200 million house. I guarantee if you go to the garage, you see they mount the motor
and the
way they mount the tracks. They take that all thread stuff or that all hang.
Unistrut.
The Unistrut stuff, and the guy whacks it off with a wheel, and he's overhanging 4 inches, and it's cut at a weird angle, and he's doing the through bolt thing, and then the other one comes up an inch shorter than that one, and it's just, right?
It's a little off. Yeah.
It's always like
it's a little off and it's a little off putting.
Well, what I'm saying is you could buy a condo in Sunland for $89,000 and go to the garage and be the same Unistrut
as
the one in Bel Air. This gives it a completely custom finished whatever. I'll tell you guys, we'll talk to Jeff in a second. First, blinds galore, man. Ah, 4th of July sale. Starts this week. Listen up, man. Up to 50% off of everything. One of their biggest sales of the year, but it's ending soon. So hurry, man. Sale ends Thursday, July 6th. Let's get crack-a-lackin', man. 100% custom-built window treatments made to your order. We have them. And boy, let me tell you, if you're listening, somewhere where it gets hot during the summer, like it is here, and it just starts blasting through those windows, and anyone who's ever climbed into a car with the windows rolled up and parked out in the sun, that's what you're getting. I got this long bank of windows at the other warehouse where all the guys are in there. If we put the blinds galore up, it's so much cooler inside of that. Why wouldn't it be, man? They've covered over 2 million windows with 100% custom built window treatments. They have experts over there. Go to blindsgalore.com. Let them help you get the custom blinds and shades you've always wanted. Let's not forget 4th of July. Save up to 50% off, but get going at blindsgalore.com. All right. Let's see. Jeff is over here, 40 from Kansas City. Jeff?
Hey, Ace, Ray, what's up?
What's going on?
Good, man.
Well, I've never heard you talk about your own personal preferences, and Ray, your opinion might be more valuable. I'm sure you do more painting than the Ace Man. What do you guys think about brush and roller, old school versus spraying?
Like an airless sprayer?
Yeah, with the whole big pump and
the whole nine yards. My whole feeling with all that stuff is for people who have the right equipment and know how to do it and know how to clean it and know how to prime it and know how to thin the paint and know how to do everything, it's great. But for me, I never get to that point, and that's why I just tell Roberto and Alvaro to get out the rollers and go sick.
Yeah,
yeah, I get it if I was doing commercial stuff or getting into it. And so my feeling with the airless stuff is it either comes out nicer or much worse.
It can come out
much worse. So with the roller and a guy who knows how to use a roller, you're at a solid triple every time. Airless is either going to be home run or strike out, and I don't want a chance striking out.
Now, what nap do you use, like, on a smooth wall? Because a lot of times I'll get the quarter just because I need it to be really, really smooth finish.
It's a good...
Because at 3/8, you get, you know, the texture.
Yeah, I get it. And, to be honest, I just sort of leave it up to those guys. But I think a quarter's a pretty light nap on a smooth wall, even though it makes sense.
For doors and such, you know, for stuff that has to be.
Oh, now you're saying a wall.
Well, kitchens
need
it.
Gary, look it up. See what nap you should use on a smooth drywall surface. Because to me, they always just get half inch, and maybe it's because it holds
more
paint.
And then just work it. But also, there's a lot of Jeff out there now. I mean, as far as paints, they have like more of Euro technology where you can brush it on, and then it all settles, and it looks like it was sprayed. There's even a paint called Grand Entrance now.
Really?
It's expensive, but it works.
Good name for a gay bar. Hey!
All right, if you're painting over smooth new drywalls or slab doors with high sheen paint, choose a roller cover with a short 1/4 inch or 3/16 inch nap.
Wow,
a short nap roller cover won't hold a lot of paint, but it will leave a very smooth finish with very little stipple or texturing.
I got it.
Right.
But that's a little weird that they say smooth drywall or a slab door.
Because they're so different. They really are. But, I mean...
See if you can just narrow it down to the
smooth drywall.
I'll
tell
you what,
the guys hate it. They hate using a really short
nap. I'm with
you
on the slab door, my friend, but I'm not sure about the smooth drywall. Okay, same. All right, hey, Jeff, rich man, poor man.
Yes, sir.
Yeah?
Yeah, inoperable farm equipment in your front yard.
Yeah, I like that.
I see this all the time. You do. Well, to me, I like it. I've been tempted by that trap many a time. And it looks cool, but now I got to weed whack around something else in my front yard.
Yeah. I like that. One of the better rich man, poor man's I heard somebody tweeted me the other day, which is lives next door to a rapper. That's pretty solid, right? That's a solid.
I like that.
You know why? The best rich man, poor man is no middle class family can participate in this activity. Sometimes people say, you know, flies first class or flies whatever, but it's like, I see poor guys or middle class guys doing
that
too.
I really
liked
one you retweeted the other day, which is, and I might have modified it in my head a little bit, but never flies commercial. Or I think you may have retweeted never flies coach or something, but it was private jet or I've never been on a plane.
No, it wasn't private jet. It was never flies coach, which is poor people don't fly at all,
right,
and rich people never fly coach. So
yeah,
it eliminates the – it's a little tough because of Southwest and whatever. But generally, if you're poor, you're not getting on an airplane. Right. It was a little more expansive. It just doesn't fly coach.
Yeah, sorry.
It took a little math. But lives next to rappers. Pretty strong. Pretty strong.
Like that one.
All right. Let's see. Rich. Hey, Rich.
Hey, how we doing?
Good, man. What's going on?
Oh, not too much, man. I just recently paid off my modular home, and I'm ready to kind of start getting it put back nicer, maybe, closer to kind of like my childhood home, just like a sturdier home.
Yeah.
I can't even hang a TV now.
You'd like to make it like your childhood home?
Well, I just want to make the house stronger as a whole, and I don't know where to start.
Hold on. You want to make the house stronger as a whole?
Well, I tried to hang a flat-screen TV, just a simple 35-inch.
Uh-huh.
And it ripped the stud straight sideways.
Yeah, because you,
it's one by.
You have the modular home where they have the right half and the left half, and they put it together down the middle, and they just have the metal studs in there, and everything's really floppy, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Like when you open up your door, it's like a bellows in there?
Yeah, I only have two exterior doors, and both of them have dropped at least a half inch in the past year.
Yeah, man, bad shadow line, bad reveal. So listen there. Okay. We're not going to be able to stiffen the whole house. I can tell you how to hang the TV.
Okay.
All right. When you have a weak point, then you must spread out the load. You're going to need, as previously discussed, we've done it here with an even bigger TV. You must get yourself a nice piece of, it's a 35-inch or a piece of plywood, MDF. Plywood's better. Get a piece of plywood.
Plywood better in this application.
That'll fit behind the TV without hanging out past the TV, yes?
Correct. Yeah, yes. Yeah, okay, I'll follow.
All right. Then caulk the shit out of it with, you know, it's weird. You can use construction adhesive, but I wouldn't even bother. I just use cheap painter's caulk. Just
use whatever you have.
Whatever you have and just
yeah.
Onto the wall. Then, if you'd like to really grab it, use a nice toggle bolt on all four corners.
What about like setting it up so you could even use those easy anchors, you know, like the zinc anchors on each corner?
You don't like those? Well, I'll tell you why I don't like those, because
don't break the paper, man. They're strong.
Maybe you're right. I think you could do this one by simply caulk up the shit out of it and on the wall, and then just coarse red drywall screws like every 6 inches to suck it.
I like the toggle because I think the, you know, drywall.
All right, how about this? Toggle only in the upper right and left hand corners.
Yes.
All right?
Like that.
Okay. You like that, Rich?
Yeah.
Feeling good?
Yeah, I'm down with that. Yeah,
all right.
That
get to work.
It,
thanks, man. All right. Oh, do I got a good hinge story for you guys? First, LifeLock, man. Study found identity thieves use personal data in an average of 9 minutes from the time they get it. And someone's identity is stolen every 2 seconds. So let's not let that happen to you. Your identity can be stolen in ways you may not detect if you're only monitoring your credit. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats and deters it, man. So if they detect your information, they'll send you an alert. If there's a problem, the U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. They're the industry standard. They are LifeLock. Let's protect ourselves. I have this. Lynette has it. The kids have it. We all have LifeLock. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all business, but LifeLock can uncover threats you might miss. It is the best. It is LifeLock, Matt.
Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LifeLock. Use promo code Adam. That's Adam for 10% off your LifeLock membership. Visit LifeLock.com and save 10% now.
All right. So would you like the coup de grace?
Yeah, yeah. Hinge?
Hinges.
What do you got?
This is the... I do have these moments all the time where I just... You have it, too, when you work in this business or where you do these projects, these kind of projects where you just go, Jesus Christ, if I didn't come in here when I came in here and go, don't do it, or stop, or do it the other way, like, where would we be at the end of the day? Like, imagine if you didn't... How many times a week if you didn't pop your head in and go, whoa, what are you doing? No, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
That's all you do, right?
That's your job, unfortunately.
Okay. So, Matt, listen up. Tell me if I'm missing something.
Orbital Sander.
Yeah.
Boy.
The closet door has a jamb, and it has a door from a previously existing location. But they're not the same. I had to flip them over to get them to swing the direction I wanted to swing.
Okay.
So when you flip a door over, well, now you got a weird look. And the look will be this. The bottom hinge is too close to the ground. And the top hinge is too close to the ground. So you have this weird 10-inch space on the top before the hinge starts. And the bottom, there's 7 inches beneath the hinge. It's weird. It's sort of like
It's upside down.
It'd be the same look. It'd be the same look that if you took your cool car and put bigger wheels on the front and put the smaller wheels in the rear, and you just kind of go, it doesn't look right. Like, it looks weird. And so if you sit back, if you guys ever really notice a door jam, the top hinge is raised up higher, the gap is smaller, and the bottom one comes off the ground. And it's really exacerbated when you stand, because when you stand and look down, it makes it even look even lower, and it makes the top one. So it looks cattywampus, right? All right. So now the jam, the door has it where we want them. When you set the door up, the door has the hinge at the heights we want it. On the door side, the hinge is broken in half.
Right.
One's on the door. The jam is the one that's off.
That you need to.
It's down low. Sorry. I screwed that up. The jam has it where we want it. The door we flipped over.
Okay.
So now the door's screwed up and the jam has it at the height we want, and the door doesn't because we flipped the door over. Now the bottom hinge is the top hinge. So obviously we got to move some hinges in order to get this thing to line up. So I caught Gary this morning and I said, where are you going? And what are you doing with these hinges? And he said, I pulled the ones off the jam and I'm going to switch them to I said, oh, no, do the door. And he's like, because it's one side or the other.
Yeah.
You break the hinge in half, you either have to move the jam side or you have to move the door side. One's got to go to the other's elevation. But the door's where you want it. He was going to bring
He was going to bring that down.
Sorry. The jam is where you want it. The door isn't. I'm now confusing myself. He was going to bring the jam down to match the door, which is where we didn't want it.
Yeah.
Instead of do the exact same amount of work and bring the door one to where it needs to be. It already was. Yeah. So that was one of those. I walked in like right before that move happened, and I was like, no. But also, why am I telling you this? It's pretty clear
which one needs to be done. No, there's a lot of lack of common sense, though. I mean, you know it, I know it, but you have an aesthetic eye.
Gary knows it very well, though. That's the thing. He knows it.
He knows it, but he's about to do the wrong thing.
I know he's about to do the wrong thing.
You know, but I mean, it's crazy.
He knows it, but he's just about to do the wrong thing. And by the way, that closet door
has now cost you $5,000.
Not only that, but it would have been at the foot of my bed. I would have laid my bed and stared at those hinges.
No, you wouldn't have. I would have ripped the whole thing apart and redone the whole thing immediately. And you know it.
Oh, I'd have to. And Lynette wouldn't be able to sleep.
She's on the couch anyway. Don't worry about it with the computer.
I say to her, these hinges, man. What's that have to do with Phil? Tommy John, man. Oh, man, it's getting hot out there. It's getting humid out there, man. Getting the swampy conditions down in the nether regions, man. Old school cotton boxers that can't handle the extra sweat this time of year, man. Put the kibosh on the swamp butt and go with Tommy John. These guys are the best. Moisture wicking fabric pulls perspiration right off your body. Dries 4 to 5 times faster than the old school underpants. There's a patented fabric technology. Impossible to get a wedgie. Although I feel like a 15-year-old Ray would be able to beat Tommy John and give a kid a wedgie. That's just me, but that Ray was one
Atomic.
Of the, is one of the best. He was one of the best. Best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. Stay cool all summer long with Tommy John. Why wouldn't you? They are the best. They are. You'll never go back. Once you go Tommy John, you will not go back. They're the best. Matt?
Hurry to TommyJohn.com now. Use code ADAM and save 20% on your first order. That's code ADAM at TommyJohn.com for 20% off TommyJohn.com.
So why is it a bad idea to red guard if you have some cracks or in any way just in general
because you already have the
underneath tile?
Because you already have the pan. Like the
yeah.
Red,
okay, so the pan. You float out. You put the mortar bed down. Then you paint the tar on. You make a Oreo cookie, but the filling is tar. you have a bottom, a middle membrane, which is your tar, and then you float over it. That's the pan.
Okay.
Right.
Here's why I think it's bad. Oh, actually, it's not that bad.
It's not bad. It's just maybe not necessary.
Okay, but here's the thing. Because the tile is not waterproof.
Right.
You know, so what happens
is... And the grout is not waterproof.
Correct. So the water eventually goes down to the pan, wicks toward the drain where you have the weep holes in.
When you don't say pan, goes down to the...
Goes down to the membrane.
Right.
Okay, the tar, the hot mop.
It penetrates the first layer. It penetrates...
Everything.
The tile... It penetrates, well, it seems like it penetrates the grout mostly.
Sure.
It penetrates the grout. It goes down to the mortar.
The membrane. Goes through the mortar. Through the membrane.
And hits the membrane.
Hits the membrane. Trickles down because that's pitched.
Right.
And then goes to the weep holes, which are packed with gravel.
Right.
So it can get through.
Through the weep holes.
Right. I mean, the thing's never really...
But what is the why would Red Guard be a bad thing?
Because then I think it sits on top of the Red Guard between the Red Guard and the tile, so it's going to get in between there and then like wick and then pop the tile eventually. Could if it's not fully you know.
Yeah.
So that's my problem with it.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I mean, you got to butter the back. You can't have any kind of air gap. Nothing.
But why? But then why is everyone so insane about cracks? Is it for movement?
Movement.
That's it.
Yeah.
But it's not really about penetration. It's about movement.
Yeah, that's why I was
scared. And the Red Guard doesn't do anything for movement.
Right.
It does it for penetration.
There you go. So it's like, Yeah. That's why I was so concerned about the float, because it was so thin.
Yeah.
That I didn't want any cracks, because I don't want any movement.
All right. Well, now you got your cracks and your Red Guard.
Two for
win-win.
Two.
Now, how much do they pay you to apply Red Guard? Oh, wait a minute. Oh, I said a horrible thought. I pay.
Yeah.
Damn.
You did that. Then Sean got the orbital sander out.
Well, I said, please, do not Red Guard.
Versus the pad sander. So now he's taking the pad sander and sanding off the Red Guard.
Well, to be fair to him, if you had made the mix drier, he may not have been
Do we need to bring this up again?
Well, you're putting it on Sean. I'm saying he's reacting to a too wet a mix. That's
and who
all.
Put that hole in that Dens glass stuff?
I have no idea.
It was just a big hammerhead hole right there.
I cannot sort everything out.
And I ask, who did this? Nobody fesses.
Yeah. All right. Simply Safe, man. You take precautions every day. You have a case for your cell phone. You have the identity theft protection like we're talking about. What about the rest of the family? Simply Safe. No hassle. You just order it online, completely wireless. Comes pre-programmed. It's going to work right out of the box. You install it yourself in under an hour. No activation fees, no holes in your wall, no exposed wiring, not to mention the mess. You drill and pull those wires. What a mess. Well, you can't do it yourself. You have to pay someone to do it. Why do that? Peel and stick. Batteries last up to 10 years. Round-the-clock professional monitoring with emergency dispatch, only $14.99. No long-term lock-in contracts. Go to Simply. There's two I's in there. SimplySafeAdam.com. Get 10% off when you order today. These guys are good. It's a good company. I talked to the guy who started it. Smart Harvard guy. SimplySafeAdam.com. Get your 10% off. Get up and running. Get a break on your renter's insurance, your homeowner's insurance. SimplySafeAdam.com. Get the 10% off. All right. You can go to AdamCarolla.com and find out where we're playing. We're going to be in Vegas coming up, Caesar's Palace, Thursday, July 13th. We got a cruise Cozumel, man. With Ray, everybody.
Yeah.
And we're doing a live film expose, and it's going to be a Cobra going after Cobretti. No Safe Spaces. We're doing the crowdfunding. Go to nosafespaces.com. The 24-hour war and all the movies, man. Go to Chassis, two S's and a Y, .com. Me and Garrigus doing a Reasonable Doubt Town Hall Thursday, July 20th. Get tickets at AdamCarolla.com. Want to support the show? Good. Let's get Ray a house, everybody. Just visit us on Ace on the Roof and bookmark us over at Amazon and all that good stuff. Ray, what do you got?
I got me on Facebook, man.
Ray
Oldhoffer. I mean Facebook. What am I talking about? Twitter.
Twitter. All right. Yeah. Until next time.
Sorry.
Adam Carolla for Ray Oldhoffer saying mahalo.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com. This.
This is Corolla Digital.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Throw in some music.
We can watch the game. Or we could keep it simple.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.